Good morning. My name is Jonathan Mayo, and I'm an elder here at Resonate, and I'm glad to be sharing the word of the Lord with you today. If you'll pray with me, please. Lord, I pray that my words would become your words, that we would leave here today with our hearts more centered on you, knowing more about you and what you want for us. Amen. All right, so I want to start off by talking to our kids who are listening in today. So kids, if you're there, gather around. I want to ask you guys, have you heard of a show called Octonauts? My kids love this show, and to be honest with you, I love it too. And there's a character in the show named Captain Barnacle Bear. And I don't know if hope you guys can see this. This is him, and he's a great leader for this Octonaut crew, and he's always looking for ways to help teach other crew members new skills and encourage them to be great leaders too. And he even records these funny little training videos on the Octopod, which is their ship. And one of them, he like teaches them how to play an accordion, and it's really funny. But anyway, in one episode, Captain Barnacles gives this penguin Octonaut, whose name is, let's see here. Peso Penguin. He gives Peso kind of the manual or the book on how to drive the main Octopod ship called the Octopod, which is this right here. If you guys can see that, this is what the Octopod looks like. So Captain Barnacles teaches him how to do it, tells him the right way to do it. And then in this one episode, when all the other crew members get sick and end up in the medical bay on the Octopod because a rogue cone snail shoots them with poisonous darts and makes them sick, so they can't walk around. They're very dizzy. And guys, this is a real thing in the ocean, by the way. Cone snails are real. And when this happens, no one else is there to drive the ship except for Peso. So Peso has to be super brave, and he uses the information and the knowledge that Captain Barnacles gives him, and he climbs up in the Octopod and he drives it through this really dangerous part of the ocean and is able to safely steer the Octopod to safety and rescues the crew. And this story that where Peso uses what Captain Barnacles taught him is a little bit like kind of like what we're talking about today, where Captain Barnacles kind of acts like Jesus in our story. Jesus teaches us about God's love and tells us to go out into the world and use that to teach others that how they can be saved too. And we have to be brave, just like Peso Penguin, to learn how to love others and teach them through our words and our actions. So I guess that's it. I could probably stop teaching right now. I think that probably covers my whole sermon, but I'm gonna talk to the adults a little bit now too, see if I can get them to understand. So let me turn to that. We're doing a series right now where we're walking through our church's benediction statement, and the last week you heard Trey preach on the purpose behind what we do at Resonate, for the glory of God and his mission in the world. It is that first clause of our benediction. And so let me turn there now. I'll go ahead and read our benediction statement. For the glory of God and his mission in the world, we go out today as disciple-making disciples, equipped by his word and empowered by his spirit to freely share our gifts with our church family. So like I said, our focus today is going to be on the second clause in this benediction, which is we go out today as disciple-making disciples. And this phrase is actually part of our mission statement as well as our church. So it's a pretty important one. I don't know why they gave me this sermon topic. It's very important, but I'm going to do the best I can with it. And there are two huge aspects to this, this clause. First is evangelism, and second is discipleship. And, these are super simple topics. I'm going to totally nail it in this 25-minute sermon, so don't worry about it. Seriously, though, this is going to have to be somewhat of a high-level overview of these very deep, important topics. But by God's grace, you'll hear what he wants you to hear today. All right, so the basis of this clause is found in Matthew 28. And so let's turn there now, if you will. Open your Bibles to Matthew 28, verse 16. And brothers and sisters, this is the word of our Lord. Verse 16, now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And when Jesus came to them and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Okay, so let's take this, looking back at our clause here, let's take the first chunk of it. We go out today. And the reason we say this is that God calls us to go out each day to share his love and good news with others. And in Matthew 28, we see this. Matthew 28 is the very end of the book of Matthew, and we call this, it's commonly referred to as the Great Commission, and when Jesus tells his disciples to go. But really, there's this beautiful progression leading up to this point in Matthew. And the book of Matthew starts with Jesus, where he begins his ministry by telling disciples to come, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And then the story proceeds through Matthew with Jesus showing and telling disciples what his kingdom will look like. Things like the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus showing his power over the physical and the spiritual world, and ultimately modeling sacrificial love even to a death on a cross. And now he stands before his disciples, having risen from the dead, having defeated death, and telling them, look, I've showed you what my kingdom should look like. And I've showed you how to expand it. Now I want you to go and do it. But don't worry, I'll be with you. And I keep thinking of the, when I read this, I keep thinking of the video intro that we had for our Exodus series. I think Chris put it together, somebody. For the series we just finished, where God speaks from the burning bush and you hear that voice, you know, kind of like overlaid voice, crazy sound, now go. And Moses, you know, just like the disciples, was facing persecution and insurmountable odds. And yet God said, go. And what else did he say? Exodus 3:12, I will be with you. Same thing we just saw here in Matthew. Matthew is showing this beautiful tie back to Exodus. It's a reflection back to this burning bush moment where God calls Moses to step out in faith. And the same call applies to us today. We are to step out just as Moses did. But what does it mean for us now to go out today? Well, when we go, we are following Christ, not our own path. We are taking what he teaches us and putting it into practice each day, wherever God has called us, in whatever capacity. This is daily with our kids. This is with our coworkers, that awkward time at the beginning of a Zoom call before the meeting starts. This is with our roommates, our spouses, as we eat our bowl of cereal in the morning at the breakfast table. This may be to the country 1,000 miles away where he has called you to go. And obviously, this Great Commission is major to the missions field, but that's a different sermon for another day, so I'm not going to hit on that. But you may be thinking, you may be hearing this and thinking, man, you know, I really don't feel a big calling to go anywhere right now. You know, we're just kind of starting to come out of this pandemic, and I'm just trying to get by. I would encourage you to do this. I want you to set aside some time this week to pray about where God might be calling you to go this week. Write down a reminder right now. If you got a pencil or a pen, jot it down. Pray this week about where God might be calling me. If you got your cell phone with you, tell Siri. Say, hey, Siri, set a reminder for Tuesday, 9 a.m. Remind me to pray about where God is calling me. And I want you to do this. When you pray, I want you to remember that it's going to feel almost trivial to be like, oh, what is this, you know, asking for a calling? Like, am I going to hear a voice? I don't know what's going to happen. But guys, if you tune your mind to God's frequency, if you stop, by stopping and praying and paying attention to him, God will start to show you what he is calling you to. And I want you to talk about it with your spouse, with your life group, with your roommates. This is a great way of sharing and finding accountability in another person that can motivate you in that calling, that can help steer you in the right direction. And guys, stepping out into this calling may feel like a burden, but guys, it's really an opportunity to trust in him, to see what he is calling you to, see what he has for you. Guys, I promise you, it's going to be better than what you have for yourself, better than what you think you need. What God has for you and what he's calling you to is better. Okay, so we said go, but now go do what? Well, this gets us to the second part of this clause in the benediction where we say, you know, we go out today as disciple-making disciples. And 2 points here. We are to be his disciples, and we are to make more of them. So let's look at first how to be a disciple. Well, what is a disciple? A disciple is a follower, and it means to be a learner of someone else. It means to imitate their behavior, to devote your life to that person's way of life and philosophy. And Jesus earnestly calls us to become his disciples. For example, Matthew 11, verse 28 says this, "Come to me, all who are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." He says it here, learn from me, become my disciple. So that's our calling, to be a disciple. And second, we are to make more disciples. Jesus came to earth to establish his kingdom, and he did so by making disciples. He didn't just convert everyone in one fell swoop. He focused on a small group of people and slowly spread his message from there. He set up his framework for his kingdom. He planted the seeds, but he did not complete its expansion. He invites us to follow his example, to expand his kingdom, to participate in his mission of disciple making. And he could do it alone. But how awesome is it that he invites us into this with him? I keep thinking of my own son, and when I'm like doing a task or a chore, and he you know, I asked him maybe to help me, or he asked to help to step in and help too. And it's always just such a beautiful moment when I get to do something with him. And same with my daughter. And this is this beautiful thing of participation and working together towards a goal. And I can't help but feel that that's how God probably sees us and calling us to step into what he wants for us. So Jesus in Matthew 28 calls or commissions us to kingdom expansion. And I want to talk about this word commission. I think it's a great descriptor of what Jesus is doing here. It's defined as the act of granting certain powers or authority to carry out a particular task or duty. And as an analogy, I want to give you this. I went to a military high school growing up, and where nearly everyone was part of this junior ROTC program. And at the start of our senior year, there's a ceremony called commissioning. Where we were given our cadet officer ranks and authority to lead the cadet cadre. And they also gave us swords, which was pretty awesome as a 17-year-old, but in hindsight, may not have been the best idea. But once we were commissioned and given these officer ranks, this authority, we were given also specific leadership tasks to lead younger cadets, whether that be a platoon commander, a battalion commander, a company commander. You had these different roles where you had cadets, young, you know, freshmen, sophomores, and juniors under you that you would lead and show them and teach them how to be a good cadet. And here, Jesus is commissioning us to expand the kingdom just as he did, to make more disciples on whatever level he has called you. And this begins with evangelism, which is sharing the good news of the gospel, and then it grows through discipleship. And I know you kind of hear that and you think, man, making disciples, that sounds so amorphous and kind of lofty. Like, what does that even mean? How am I going to do that? And it's so easy to doubt our calling to do it, and easy to think, yeah, you know, I'm no good at that. Somebody else is more gifted and I'm going to let them do it. And it's easy to get cynical and be like, nope, I'm not going to make disciples. That's what Jesus did. How am I going to do that? And Matthew in this passage understands that feeling, and he expects us to feel this way. And he shows us this by writing in verse 17, "And when they saw him," referring to his disciples, "they worshiped him, but some doubted." Even though some of these disciples who had seen Jesus do miraculous works, who had seen him get horribly crucified on a cross, who lay dead for 3 days, and then rise again and stand in front of them and speak to them in person and call them to this, even they doubted. That's comforting for me in my own doubts. And remember this, he is with you in this calling in miraculous ways. The context of this command matters. Jesus has just miraculously risen from the dead. And so when he says, go make disciples, that is also going to be done supernaturally. It's not going to be done by your strength. It's not on you. This is going to be supernatural. And you're not going to be alone. He says, I will be with you. And in verse 19, Jesus says, go therefore and make disciples. Well, what is this therefore? Well, we look back a verse to verse 18. Why should we go? Because he has been given all authority on heaven and on earth. So because of that, we can now go. Because he has the authority, we can go. And at the end of this segment, Jesus wraps up the command with another encouraging promise, I am with you always. This shows us that we are not able to do this by our own power. It's going to be him working through us, by the Holy Spirit and with his great power to make disciples, to make new believers. It's not on us. But what does this actually look like to be a disciple making disciple here and now for us? Well, first, I think turning to evangelism, this looks like humble and respectful and bold evangelism to those who do not believe. 1 Peter 3:15 says this, "Be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect." This looks like speaking truth into their lives as you build up a relationship of trust with them. This looks like being willing to get vulnerable, to ask real questions, sacrificing for them as he has sacrificed for you, living your life differently with them and in front of them. Brothers and sisters, we will still experience suffering in our lives, and this is going to mark us, and they will see it on our faces, but deep inside of us, guys, Christ gives us a hope-filled joy that only comes from him, and they will see that. And there's another common doubt that in this progressive era that people are content. You know, people have what they need. They don't need to hear what I have to say. They're not going to buy it. But according to recent research by the University of Chicago's nonpartisan and objective research organization, data shows that Americans are less satisfied and less happy than ever before. Guys, it's the lie the world is telling us is that it has what we need. And people are buying it. People are getting a defective drug that just leaves them craving for more of everything, but the world never fulfills. The truth is, people are desperate for meaning, desperate to feel connection to something more, to find something to fill that void they feel. And God has designed us with that need, but we're trying to, he designed it for him to fill it, not for us to try to fit the square peg of the world into this round hole. It does not fit and does not satisfy. I get it, though. You know, I'm nervous about being seen as this crazy Christian trying to convert everyone around me. I want to get along with people. I really don't want to rock the boat in my relationships or in my workplace. Like, I don't want to be seen as that guy. But that's me worried more about what this person might think of me than the incredible love, joy, and fulfillment that God has for them. And that's me worried that I have to convince them through some kind of tricky argument when it'll be God himself working through his spirit in me, through my words, to work in their hearts as he sees fit. So when you see the opportunity, you tell them about this freedom that Christ brings, the joy he brings like a living spring deep inside of us. 1 Peter 1:3 says this, "God by his great mercy makes us to be born again to a living hope." And this phrase, living hope, is just beautiful to me. And that is what our non-believing friends need, this living hope that only he can give. And if you don't have an opportunity right now to evangelize to non-believers right now, let me challenge you with this. I want you to pick two or three non-Christians in your life. I want you to pray for them. I want you to make a commitment to be available to them. I want you to, whenever they call, whenever they need, I want you to show the love Jesus has loved you with. Show that to them. And this will take time. It's not an overnight thing to create these relationships and to be present in them. In our own lives, we have been friends with roughly the same group of non-believers for years. And they are very dear friends, and they're part of our community, and we're part of their community. And it's taken a lot of time to find good opportunities to share our faith with them in meaningful ways. We've gotten chances to share our prayers with them as they experience sorrows and trials, to serve them sacrificially in our daily lives as they have needs, to have deep conversations about our beliefs and the meaning of life over an evening fire in our backyard. And when you are a part of their lives and community doing life alongside of them, these opportunities and chances will come. So we've talked about evangelism. Now, well, let's talk about discipleship a little bit. We make disciples by entering into relationships with other believers and together pursuing deeper knowledge of God and centering our hearts on him. Theologian J.T. English recently published a book called Deep Discipleship, And in it, he describes what discipleship should look like. And he describes how the goal of discipleship is to reorient the love of our hearts to God and all of his infinite beauty. Our discipleship must be God-centered with the ultimate goal of growing in our love and knowledge of him. That's why we do it. Hebrews 3:13 says this, "But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." It's so easy to become distracted, to forget his calling for us. And this exhortation and accountability from fellow believers can be pivotal to centering our hearts on him and to keeping on track. All right, let's get practical on this discipleship. How do we do this at Resonate? Well, there's many different ways, and I'm going to talk about two really key ways, I think. First, with our kids, and then second, I'm going to talk about our relationships with fellow believers here as adults. So, guys, probably one of the most powerful forms of discipleship here is our kids. I mean, if you look around on a Sunday, you see we got lots of them. And so, parents, I want to talk to you first. Your example to your kids is pivotal to what they will do. Praying with them, reading the word with them, talking to them about your faith and what we believe. This is incredible. This is an incredible, important discipleship relationship. And it takes time and sacrifice to do it. I mean, you're going to be tired at the end of the day trying to just get to the next thing with your kids. But taking that moment to stop and pray, to talk to them about what they're feeling and what they need prayer for. Man, stuff like that can make all the difference in the world. And if you're not part of the Resonate Kids Facebook group right now, Echo Parents, or signed up for the Echo Parents news email, you need to get on that. Danielle does a great job of sharing great ways of discipling our kids and resources. And the second thing I want to talk about is this, related to our kids, and this one's very personal to me, that kids' friendship with adults in our church that are not their parents is incredibly important. Adults just taking a few minutes to talk with other kids here in our church or in your neighborhood is so important. Let me give you an example. Drew Desjardins, that brother comes and talks to my kids all the time. And he gets down on their level and he listens to them and he talks to them. And man, you can see it on their face. It matters to them. And I appreciate that so deeply because this is laying a groundwork for them to knowing and hearing from a fellow believer that they can look up to that isn't just their parents. And from my own experience, adults who would take time to talk to me after church, just asking me about my life and see what's going on, those voices made a huge difference in my life and my decision and my choice to follow Christ. And they probably don't even know it. All right, let me turn to the adults a little bit more. If you're newer in your faith and if you're feeling stagnant in your walk, I want you to seek out and develop relationships with fellow believers who are mature in their faith and walk with them. Reach out to somebody you think you might be able to grow beside. Sometimes you need to be discipled first before you're ready to disciple. And if you're mature in your faith, I want you to look for opportunities to disciple others who may need it. Don't be afraid to reach out to others and to offer to meet with them to study the Word of God. This can look like just meeting together to talk about your faith, your struggles, and our God. My wife Emily shared this great resource with me from a group called Journey Women, and they have this discipleship guide. It's real simple. It's just 3 pages long. It has prompts in it and scripture circling around 4 topics, confession, accountability, reading, and encouragement. And these are central tenets to a discipleship relationship, and I recommend you look up that guide. It's free. It's online. It's a great resource. One last quick aspect I want to hit on discipleship. Guys, if you're in a relationship with someone right now who may be going through kind of a deconstruction of their faith, which is kind of a hot topic you hear about these days, the people who might be questioning their beliefs and you're wondering what to do to help them, I want to recommend this to you. Stay ever present in their lives because your faith and presence and your connection through the Holy Spirit can make all the difference as God chooses to use it. So as we close today, let me ask you this. I want you to think about your daily lives. Are you going out into your daily lives looking for opportunities to love others and to share his truth with them? Are you looking for discipleship relationships with those in the faith, both to grow and to help others to grow? If not, why not? What's holding you back? Are you sure that what you want for yourself is better than what he is calling you to? And I'm not saying this to guilt you, but guys, this is a beautiful opportunity that we so often miss. And as you walk away from this message today, I want you to remember this, that it's not about what you can do, but what God can do through you. If you're just willing to step into what he's calling you to. And if you don't know this God who gives this spring of hope deep inside of us, come talk to one of the elders at Resonate. Come talk to, if you're there on a Sunday, come find somebody wearing one of the lanterns. We'd love to pray with you. If you're just watching this digitally, send us an email. We'd love to connect with you to talk with you more about it. Let's pray, guys. Father, we know you've called us to go out today and each day to share your love and good news to those who do not know you and to make more followers of you. Holy Spirit, work in us and use us to share the good news with others. God, I pray for the disciple-making relationships here at Resonate, for opportunities to be discipled and to disciple, and for humility and vulnerability in those relationships that will grow us to be more like you. Amen. Thanks, church.